The best insight, instant feedback, accountability. The all-new Talk Radio Freedom 106.5.
You remember that song I played earlier called Conqueror? You all have heard it played several times. It's all about getting off your feet, getting off your back, standing up again in the face of adversity. Well, we're switching gears this afternoon, and instead of doing something pre-recorded, I want you all to take into this piece live.
This is my time. This is my time. When you see me on your TV screen, this is my time. How I tailor these words to form a line. How I tailor these words to form a rhyme. This is my time. This is my time. Here to make a difference in today's youth. To share knowledge and positivity to others in bearing fruit. This is my time. This is my time. Like smoke I rise. From all the pain and deceit others crumbled and left at my table like a receipt. So when you see me gaining the will and the goal I deserve, know that this is my time, this is my time, this is Sherelle's time.
Boom, boy. Wow. Wow. This is my time. Sherelle, welcome to Freedom 106.5 FM. Once again, for those of you who don't know, Sherelle is a spoken word artist as well. And that was one of her signature pieces, This Is My Time, and she did it for you live. I wanted it pre-recorded, eh? But I figure, nah, let Sherelle come and read her piece written by yourself. Yeah,
yes,
speak up a little bit, raise the mic a little bit to you, right?
Yes,
good. So, you wrote that piece,
yes, I did.
And where have you performed it so far?
I actually wrote it recently, mm-hmm. So this is my first time performing it.
You lie, you yes. Really get a chance on the big show to perform for
yes.
The... So that's the first time.
This
you know
is
what?
The first time
I would love for
piece.
You to record that piece and let me put some theatrics in that and really have it out there. I did a piece myself, you know.
Yes.
I didn't name it though. And I feel I'll play it for you before you leave, you know, in the
yes.
Next hour. I had a piece I was dealing with police and you know, the ticketing system. I did a little piece. So mm-hmm. I did it a couple of years back, and it's still relevant and significant today. So for those of you wondering who Sherelle Pascal is, well, she's an individual that would have been a survivor of domestic abuse. Can I say that? Is that what it is?
Yeah.
Now, the thing when it comes to domestic abuse, people believe that it can only be done by a spouse, a significant other, somebody that you're dating or married to. But this wasn't the case with you, right?
No, it's not.
Where did you, and I mean, I want to be very clear. This situation we're going to discuss here for the next 40 minutes or so, we'll take 20 in this hour and 20 in the next, have nothing to do with a spouse, a boyfriend, girlfriend, nothing like that. Not even siblings. So where did this abuse come from?
This abuse came in the household, parental abuse. So it was more mental, emotional, and at a point in my life, it was physical at the age of 12.
It became physical?
Yes.
Now, I want you to tell your story. I want Trinidad and Tobago how old are you now?
I am 20.
You're 20?
Yes, I am 20.
This girl looks no older than 14, 15, eh? I'm being honest.
I got that a lot.
You get,
yeah.
I'm being honest. The young lady looks no older than 14, 15 years, but
yes.
She's a 20-year-old survivor
mm-hmm.
of domestic violence and abuse in a household by parents.
By parents.
Let's start as far back as you could remember what the trauma was like. When you first knew yourself and recognized, you know, you were being beaten or spoken to. Tell me a story.
Well, first, I'm a twin. I have three siblings. I have a brother who is 15, one who's 5, and I have a twin sister.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I don't have any contact with them right now. Mm-hmm. Probably just my sister, but not with my two brothers as often as my sister. So it all started off as long as I can remember, like in preschool, mm-hmm. my sister and I, after school and stuff, we would like go to court because our parents was like in court fighting for custody and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
So that's my earliest memory at the age of 4. And then moving on to like at the age of 7, even seeing my mother being domestic abused by my own father. Yeah.
Uh-huh. Go ahead.
Yeah. That's like my earliest memory, and then you know it evolved into like secondary school and different things. It was more mental and emotional, so a lot of the name calling And it was physical at a point in time.
Well, look, before we get to the physicality part. So in your early days, from as early as 4 years, coming up 5, 6, 7 years, 8 years, you have been separated. I had to fix your mic, you know. All you permit me a minute, eh? About that, folks, but I had to adjust the stuff because this serious business we're talking about. We have 15 minutes on the upswing to the hour before news. I'm keeping Cheryl a little bit after the 4 o'clock hour to chat with me on this story. So we're going through the emotions with you up until four, let's say 8 years. So you're coming from school and you're never going home to a secure home.
No, it wasn't secure. Probably like every time we came home, it always have arguments. Yeah, so like it always be like using obscene language, both parents exchanging obscene language, mm-hmm. and they would use obscene language to me and my siblings.
How many siblings in all? You were a twin?
Yeah.
So you have a twin brother?
No, I have a sister. Twin sister.
And how many other siblings?
I have two younger brothers, 1 15, 1 5.
So you have a 5-year-old brother, mm-hmm. a 15-year-old brother,
yeah.
and then your sister and you are 20. So that's 4 children in total, right?
Yeah, from my mother's side, yeah.
So
and my father, he has his son. He's like six.
Six. Okay, so at what point in your life, in your 20-year lifespan, would you say you got away from it? I want to do some marginals here. When did you get away from it?
I would say this year.
Only this year? To the better part of about 18 years of your life. Mm-hmm. Let me say about, say 4 or 5. So if we do, let me say 15 years.
Yeah.
Right? You have been enduring and you only just gotten out of it.
Yep.
Was able to remove yourself.
Yep.
All right. So let's back it up a little bit because people don't understand. Your parents, when did they separate? At what point in your life?
They separated when I was 7.
All right. So yeah. When you were 7 is when, but before that it was a real emotional roller coaster you was on.
Yeah, they were on and off.
No stability.
No.
You come home. What about food when you reach home?
It would have food. I mean, it would have food.
Right.
But just a lot of quarreling and stuff.
Between them.
Between
so when
them,
mom
yeah.
is upset, when he storms out and goes.
Mm-hmm.
So in them early days, before they separate, was he hitting?
Yeah.
So you would hit mommy?
Yeah.
Mommy lashing back?
I don't think
she
I
was.
Think so.
I know she mightn't be able to physically combat
nah.
him, but he would hit her and stuff.
He would hit her, yeah.
Would you say it's a situation, all right, people, when I look at women who are domestically abused, it happens on various levels. You have some people who, they're trying to control the woman. So, why are you wearing that? So, what do you mean? And she could get a slap. If she's walking down the road and the next man look at her, she mm-hmm. get a slap for that when she reach home.
Mm-hmm.
He hits her because he's trying to control her. And then there are some women who end up in domestic situations because they are lashing out as well.
Yeah.
So they cussing the man, they riling up, and he say, "You're playing man," and hit them a slap. So was it a situation where she was riling up at him, or he just trying to be controlling?
He was trying to be controlling,
right?
From my perspective, because if she would like wear certain clothes, he had a big thing for like makeup, putting like braids in her hair and stuff. He would always bash her on her hair. Her makeup, the type of clothes she wear, if she wants to get her nails done or anything, he would always call her names and stuff, forgetting, you know, self-maintenance.
Children.
Yeah.
So he wanted to keep her in a... So that's a controlling type
of
abuse.
Yeah, controlling and manipulative.
But when he was getting on like that, while he was home, was mm-hmm. he attacking you all as
no,
kids?
No, he wasn't attacking us physically. But after he would talk to our mother, cuss her, probably hit her, then he would come by us and cuss us as well.
Wow.
You know, even recently up to this like year, he was doing the same thing, because I live by him for this year. So mm-hmm. he's just a person, like after he gets angry and probably like he curses his wife or something, he would always come to me and take out his stress on me and curse me as well.
All right, so Your siblings had to go through endure this up until the age of 7.
Yeah, well, me, my sister and I, that's our father. But my brothers, they have separate fathers.
So your older brother?
My younger brother.
Your younger brother. He's 15 now, sorry. Because you're the oldest, right?
Yeah.
So you're all the eldest and the siblings.
Mm-hmm.
So you all was going through this until he left. So he left. When he left, who he took with him?
Well, he didn't take any of us with him.
So he just, you're coming from school at the end, he gone, or mommy put him out, the court put him out?
Well, what actually happened was at the age of 7, when he, like, it had a big falling out where he physically attacked her and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And my little brother, I remember him being like 4, mm-hmm. trying to be in the middle, and he would like push him away and stuff. So after that same day, we had to literally walk down the road and go live with our grandmother. So mm-hmm. ever since, we lived by our grandmother in Paramin.
Mm.
And like my father would stay like a different side of Paramin. So yeah.
Okay. All right. So we had that separation now.
Yeah,
so
that separation.
So when that separation happened, mommy have you all. So mm-hmm. then, I mean, the other siblings came, the younger ones. So it's just you and your sister for your dad.
Yeah.
So the younger son was not his.
No. His father passed away like a few years ago.
But then something in the mats in my head.
Yeah.
So mommy step a little bit outside.
Yeah, she stepped
a little bit.
Yeah.
And then he had a deal with that.
Yeah,
so maybe that was the reason.
That's probably the reason.
Probably.
But he's, as far as I know, he always was like real aggressive, like naturally.
So she had no choice.
She had no choice.
So let's talk to mommy's side of things now. Because daddy seemed to be the perpetrator and the instigator in this whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
But now that daddy's out of the picture and mommy is there with you guys now, what happened after that? What went down?
So mommy, like, she has a lot of healing to do, you know. But I'm speaking about this and I get really emotional because
it's okay.
I know she's a really good person.
We end up that.
Yeah.
But it's okay, take your time.
She just
I can go for a commercial.
No, it's all right.
Uh-huh.
She does have a lot of healing to do. So like she would always say, like, you know, you have traits like your father, and she would always get emotional, like real quarreling and cursing and stuff. Sometimes even crying. Just shouting, just emotional abuse, calling us names and stuff. But that was her being traumatized and hurt. So she would always bleed on us, like take out her stress on us.
I like that. Mommy bleeds on us.
Yeah, she...
I mm-hmm. like that's a very, very powerful terminology there, boy.
Mm-hmm.
Mommy bleeds on us. And
yeah.
The thing about it is this. I want to talk to the aspect of discipline.
Mm-hmm.
So when mom had to discipline you and your younger siblings, maybe for doing the dishes or... coming home from school or the untidy or getting ready for school, what was that like? Because did she have anybody living with you all? Or was just
yes. So yeah, my grandmother, my aunt, my uncle.
So you were living in a house?
Yeah. It was like a big family.
So how?
Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So then what the other family said about the situation? I have a call coming through. Let's take this call. Hello, good afternoon.
Gizzy boy.
Hmm.
Best in day, I guess. My heart goes out for that girl, and then all them children were so abused by this. But something not adding up, something missing.
That's what I'm saying. I'm trying to get it, boy.
He's not a madman. Wait. Actually, he had a mental case or something, because I'm no man. I never hit my wife. And children, too. There's no man with me. I look for a man to fight. You understand? No man to hit a woman. Never, ever. You're wrong or you're right.
Mm-hmm.
Don't ever do that.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to be a jail. Right?
Mm-hmm.
So,
Something in maths, you know, they say the maths in. Something off because...
Listen off, hey, boy. Really listen.
Yeah. Thanks. 6273... Like, I really have a deadline here, but I think 627... So 627-3223, you can still try me on that on 625-2257 or send your WhatsApp, somebody, you know, message me here, the maths in, Davey. Something off. So let me talk a little bit quickly before the news in terms of your other relatives.
Mm-hmm.
Well, your family members, which is your aunt. So your mom, you're living with your grandmother.
Yeah.
And your mom.
Mm-hmm.
Any aunts and uncles?
Yeah, on my mom's side of the family, like 2 aunts, probably 1 uncle.
So you had, it was in a yard or in the same house?
In the same house.
So
in the same house.
Okay, that's a very large house.
Yeah.
Okay. So then, what was the family like when mom is being abusive to her children?
It was just real toxic because remember, everybody accustomed to that treatment. So my grandmother probably like, okay, she would speak to us, like, raise her voice as well.
And use obscene language?
Sometimes. I wouldn't say use obscene language because, you know, she goes to church and all that.
But
she would be very toxic at times, too. So it's a norm for everybody. at that time.
I don't know, girl. I can't see that as a norm, you know.
No, well, it, to them, like just being loud and all them thing, like that's, it was normal for them.
So to discipline you, mm-hmm, or your siblings, was there any sort of licks or anything like that?
Yeah, it had licks.
Uh huh.
And stuff.
Was it?
Yeah.
Was it? Now there's licks that can border on abuse, and there's the disciplining of children.
I think it was more disciplinary.
All right. So when she disciplining, what was her vernacular? Was it an obscene language? Kind of discipline? What was it?
Sometimes, yeah.
So in discipline, she cursing and stuff?
Yeah. Sometimes, yeah.
Hmm.
Yep. Yeah.
I'm trying to figure out your emotional, you know, what. So, how did these siblings respond to things like this when this was happening?
Well, I mean, everybody deal with it differently.
Mm-hmm.
So, my sister, she would, you know, be good in class, you know, try to better herself. She's more like a people pleaser, wants to always do good, you know, get on top of her class and everything. Me, on the other hand, didn't really care about school. Because, I mean, it's like, everything for me was just negative. So I didn't want to go to school, had no friends or nothing. It was just a really negative and dark for me.
So you coming home from school at the end of the day, what was that like, girl? Are you trying to...
Well, probably... So I would, like, come home from school, probably try to do some revision, but just like wasn't really interested. I would always go and do spoken word or music, but it's like coming home to just like a full house of people quarreling and just being toxic, cursing.
So you're walking the yard and is who cursing who?
Yeah, who cursing who?
I can tell you, I remember some years ago, girl, I on my dad's side of the family, or some relatives, some, this, you know, pumpkin vine kind of relatives, and I remember seeing, I couldn't imagine me cursing my mother and arguing my mother in this kind of way. And I saw that for the first time. And I was like, why, boy? You know, how? How could we be disrespectful to our parents?
Mm-hmm.
And to them, it was the norm. And I remember when the younger ones in the yard started cursing, they were like trying to discipline that child for using the bad language that they're using. And I didn't understand it.
Yeah.
I couldn't understand it. So you coming home from school, you're getting something to eat, but you're not sure if the aunts get choked. You're never sure what taking place.
Nope.
So, I mean, did they ever come in school with teachers? Was it a situation where your siblings was lashing out? Was that ever happening?
Well, I feel like I was the one lashing out, to be honest.
So you was getting trouble in school?
Yeah, like bad grades.
All right, but folks. Alright, no problem. We'll continue. I wanna find out how it affected you.
The best insight, instant feedback, accountability. The all-new Talk Radio Freedom 106.5.
Welcome back. 8 minutes after the hour of 4 o'clock, right here on Freedom 106.5 FM. It is the big show. Davey Murray sitting on the hot seat. And I'm chatting with Sherelle. Is it Sherelle?
Yeah, Sherelle.
Did I get it? Sherelle Pascalman. And I love your support system that you work with this afternoon. As we continue to talk about domestic abuse in the home, as it deals coming from a parental side of things and not... So this is not Sherelle Mando Beta. I just want to put that out there. Don't feel like Sherelle Man causing problems. Even we can rescue the situation as best as he could. So Sherelle, we were talking in the last hour, for the benefit of those just joining us, about you being a survivor coming out of a domestic situation where your parents was very abusive. So here's what I want to ask you. Tell our listeners how that affected you personally. Give me that story. And let me break it up in segments for you. Tell me how you felt after your parents called you names and started talking to you. Is it that when teachers speak to you in school, were you fearful that it may go down that road as well? Tell me how you felt. What was the trauma that you experienced throughout your teenage years being abused? Before, there's the part, and then we'll tie it in with the physical. How it got physical? Because it was by your mother. I don't know how you ended up by your father. You gotta give me that story too. So let's talk about the trauma that you experienced every time your mom would curse you, call you names, you and your sister, your younger brothers. What was that like?
Okay, so the effects that had on me, right? So a lot of emotional effects. So I would always be overly emotional as a person. I'll get angry a lot, a lot, like for little things, angry. For no reason, you know. I would cry a lot too and become an extremely negative person. my mindset. I was very suicidal as well. So I didn't even, every time, like, and this is a true story, every time at a point in time
in your life, yeah,
I would always wake up and would always be angry at God for even letting me see her next day. That to tell you how dark my life was. It was real, real, real dark, you know. And I didn't even want to go to school, you know, probably skipping classes. It was a lot for me, you know. So doing that now, and instead of saying positive affirmations, I would always say negative affirmations for myself. So I would always talk negative for myself. So names my parents would call me, probably stupid or dunce, illiterate and stuff like that, I would always affirm it to myself.
That is
regularly, that's who I am, exactly. So in the mirror, I'd also look at myself and I'll be disgusted. At a point in time as well, I would try to cover all the mirrors, so I wouldn't even look at myself and see my reflection. It was real bad, to be honest.
Did you ever tell school teachers, guidance counselors in the school about what your experiences were?
We had a social worker.
They ever pick up on it to say, well, you know. What about, all right, you ever had to bring your mom in school, you know, your grade's not going too well, and it's a parent-teacher meeting? That ever happened?
When they bring mom in school, I was so frightened and so ashamed, because she would come in and she'd always be so angry, you know. Obviously, if a parent hear a child getting bad grades, they wouldn't be as happy. But I was always so, so, so frightened, because it's like, okay, what if mom, like, she loud me up? Or she embarrassed me in front of people, or she hit me, or the same thing she doing in private, she'll come out in public and see, you know. So I would always have that fear instilled in me from young. And
did it ever happen? She ever loaded you up in the school?
No.
She took the bad news with the grades.
She took the bad news, and then we went home. It was a different story.
I would imagine.
It was a different story, but I ain't gonna lie, I would not play victim. My grades. It was not.
It was much to be desired.
It wasn't good at all.
All right. But we understand that. We're not here to chastise you for your grades. We understand why. What I am trying to get is, you know, her reaction when she come in school to meet with the teachers.
It was calm, I would say. Like, you could tell she was disappointed in me, but she kind of brushed it off in the moment. So she'd always look at me with a frown, or just like
that cut eye vibes.
That cut eye.
When you reach home, it's me and
vibes,
you.
Like, when we reach home, it's me
it
and
on,
you.
It on.
It on.
Yeah.
It was always that kind of vibe, you know, and it's understandable too.
And that was at primary school level, or this is all the way through secondary?
This is more secondary school. Primary school, I had good grades, but as soon as I reached secondary school, that's when everything.
What secondary school did you attend?
I went to Holy Name Convent.
Look at that, nobody.
Yeah.
Nobody in pay for you and bribe nobody to go.
No,
common and your
my SEA, yes.
And got
me
into
and my twin, yes.
And got into Holy Name.
And we did, yes, we did.
And parents ain't even proud to try to do better, boy.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know. I had a partner. He's still a good friend of mine today. We grew up together, and his father was a bishop.
Mm-hmm.
A bishop in a Baptist church. And he owned the Baptist church. And he was very abusive to his former wife, and he cheated on the mother. He used to beat her and tell her she imagine an Afro Trinidadian telling her next one, you're too black.
Mm-hmm.
I couldn't understand that, and end up with another woman that he married, and he put out the boy. He had children with the second wife, and the first set of children he had with the first wife, he ain't want no part of them. And to this day, my friend is a certified chartered accountant, making his own money and doing well. Matter of fact, he sat on the program about a year ago with me here, and we went to school together. So, I mean, it's shocking. I'm not surprised to know that in the face of all the adversity, you would have thrive so well and got into such a good school.
Yeah.
As to what happened with your grades when you got into Holy Name Convent.
Mm-hmm.
So you're a convent girl.
Yeah, I'm a convent girl.
Hey, look back at that here now. Going through this whole thing, I don't like to see parents curse children to begin with. I find if you're disciplining your child, you're not supposed to be using adult language, so to speak, offensive language to talk to your children. I have a serious pet peeve when it comes to that. Now, do you smoke?
No. Mm-mm.
I have a call coming in. I'm going to ask you a series of questions now, eh? We're going to mind your business a little bit. Hello, good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
The lady there, right?
Sherelle Pascal.
Is your mother still alive?
Yes, she's still alive.
How do you feel when Mother's Day come around about her?
Well, this Mother's Day, I was real depressed.
Let me tell you something.
Mm-hmm.
I am a foreigner, right? And my father was a doctor and my mother is educated and we migrated to Trinidad. And I don't know for what reason, I'm 72 now. You have my blood crawling because I feel for you. What I went through, I wish I knew you.
Mm.
I went through so much abuse and cursing from that lady. Mm-hmm. My father was so quiet, the villagers didn't know what I was going through. I went to convent, you know.
Really?
Yes.
Which convent?
St. Joseph. I really don't want to disclose too much.
No, you don't need to.
And I was sick. I used to work and during the vacation to make my money. My mother never cursed her other children or beat them. I was victimized. I was chained to a tree. I was beaten with bottle, all kind of thing, right?
Wow.
Mm.
The neighbors knew. But my mother was really nice with everybody. I was starved, right? And I went through so much things. And when I reached form for to select, your subjects, she took me out of school and tell me I have to continue working, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I continue working, but I didn't give up my books. And I met a wonderful guy who became my husband after. He helped me to finish school and went to university, and I became a pharmacist. But I'll tell you something. Today I have no love for that lady. I mm-hmm. pity her. She's 98. She's suffering. I would visit her. But to hug her, it's very difficult. When Mother's Day come, I hate that day on the part with her. And praise the Lord, I have wonderful sons who takes care of me, who love me, and all the blessings. And I never treat my boys bad because of my experience. And I really, really wish you all the best.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Right? It's so much more, but I didn't want to disclose it on the radio.
I appreciate it.
I'm pretty scared about doing that. You know what I mean?
No, that's fine. That's fine.
I'll be praying for you, child.
Yes, thank you.
Yeah, thank you so much. You see how you have brought on a lot of persons listening and they go through stuff, mm-hmm. Hello, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Davy.
Hi, baby
and
girl.
And to your special guest.
Yes.
I listened to her spoken words, but I was doing something just
now. She'll say it again, don't worry.
And your last caller, that lady, she's a blessed lady. We communicate and we talk, and I love her very much. All the best to you, my dearest, and to your guest and you, Davy.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. We take all our blessings with love, man. 625-2257 is the line that seems to be working this afternoon. So give me a call and touch base with Sherelle Pascal. I will make her say that spoken word with a little more energy on the departure here. Because we had to hear it again. All right. My time now. That's it. It's my time now. We will let you say that before you leave.
Yeah.
So let's talk a little bit about... Oh, next phone call coming through. Hello, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Davy and Sherelle.
Good afternoon.
Hey, Sunshine, what's up?
Yes, I just want to tell Sherelle, I want to give her a little bit of advice. I think she needs to see a counselor. She needs counseling. Perhaps she can go to a psychologist and get some counseling. That would help.
Okay. But I'm looking at Sherelle now and... She really looking like she damaged at all. As a matter of fact, if you don't know, she don't look it.
Look damaged at all.
But internally.
Yes, that's right.
All right.
So perhaps she can visit a counselor.
I agree. All right. Thank you so much. All right. Send her contact from her at 306-1065 if you have any in mind that she can chat with. Because these things tend to, you can't be an introvert. You can't hold these kind of things internal. You have to speak about it. And I want to big up Sherelle this afternoon for coming and being brave to tell your story on the People on Them Good Radio.
Mm-hmm.
You understand? On the big show. Now, here is my concern, Zegil. I just feel bad as a father. I'm a father of two boys. I have two sons, a teenager and one on the brink of becoming a teenager. And if I had a both of my sons, after in a quiet moment, I just reflect on how I talk to them. No, I do not tell my children they're stupid, they're dunce, or here's a hole, here's a this, here's a... I don't call my children names. I'll get angry. Go in your bed. Look at the hour. Get in your bed and like last night because I want to sleep. And then run up and down in the house fighting. Who take who book and whatever. And that school next, that school this morning. I look in a pull a belt and she looks like I'm going mad. You understand? And that's me. But say, cuss my children and use obscene language. My children never hear me use them kind of words. I don't use them words. I'm not into that kind of lifestyle. So here's what I am thinking. I spoke to somebody a few moments back. All right? And they latched on to certain certain devices. They get certain vice to try to mask the pain. Mm-hmm. What was your vice?
What music.
Music.
Also, uh-huh. Food. Food was my comfort.
So
I ate a lot. Every time I was anxious, depressed, angry, anything, I would always
you're looking
always
for something
eat.
To eat.
That was my comfort.
Wow. What is your comfort food?
I have a sweet tooth.
You have a sweet tooth? So then let me ask you the question now.
Mm-hmm.
It's a question we just normally baptize certain people with now. You're pretty young, 20 years, you know. Have you ever had bread and condensed milk?
Mm-mm. No.
He's shaking here. You eat that already?
No.
He's 22?
He's 21.
And you eat bread and condensed milk bread? You just still eat that nonsense? You just do that, right? You don't eat it again, but you had it before. Yeah. Was it tastes nice?
Yeah.
Nah, man. That's something like it's a disgusting kind of thing.
It is disgusting.
Just to think about it, it's repulsive. You taking condensed milk and put it on bread. Listen, I learned about it as a big man. Probably about 2 years ago, or if so long. Just recently, I learned about bread. I never knew that was a dish.
Mm-hmm.
And people just eat that. I'm not doing that. So I had to ask, you know, if that was a comfort food for you, bread and condensed milk.
No.
You know, you look around, mommy, you're watching, you take some condensed milk. Dip. What about Crix and tea and thing? You dip your bread and your Crix. Yeah, that does go.
Never.
You do that too? Hey, boy. Thing was tough. You thought you grew up bad. Thing was tough by you, boy. So you put Crix in tea and thing and drink. Nah, boy. Nah, boy. Shirley, you don't have it too bad, you know?
Yeah, I said the same thing.
You don't have it too bad. Your brother in the corner, he had it.
He had it.
He had a little rough, boy, so yeah, boy. I not more that, no? A big man, I could be how hungry. I now watch a no pack of Crix to put it in no tea to tell myself that is a meal.
Exactly.
I not doing that. That ain't happening. And put some condensed milk on a slice of bread and eat that. You crazy. I don't care how hungry I is. That ain't happening. I'll eat the bread just so. Hello, good afternoon. Hello.
Hear me?
Yeah, hearing you.
Yeah,
Locketa, what's up?
Yeah, they explode. They changed my phone and this is a new phone I have, so I called to see.
All right. Well, you walk in. And that probably nobody has to call but me. You call to see if your phone working. You know, the thing about it is, I know persons who would have gone through situations like that and would have developed vices, smoking, alcoholism. Somebody would have even turned to other members of the opposite sex for that comfort. That was never you.
Never. No.
Let's talk a little bit about you leaving the home and ending up in dad's house. What happened there? How that happened?
Well, so I have tonsillitis, right?
Mm-hmm. Whatever so, that is.
Yeah, it's like your tonsils, swollen and stuff.
Oh, yeah, stuff like that.
Yeah.
Okay.
So what happened, right?
Mm.
So that was like in December, around there.
Last year. Is that a recent thing, man?
Yes.
6 months ago?
Yeah. Like at the end of the year last year.
Big up the big show by breaking the story here. Go ahead. I'm listening to you.
Like at the end of the year last year, I got real sick. So me and my boyfriend was in the hospital for like days, checking on the tonsillitis, getting different antibiotics and stuff. I couldn't eat, drink, nothing. It was real bad.
Mm.
So, you know, I didn't have a job at that time.
Mm-hmm.
No permanent job. I was working like massive for like the
vacation and them
vacation,
kind of thing, holidays,
right?
And them things.
Mm-hmm. So for that now, I would probably work like 2-3 days per week, no more than 5 days, and I get sick.
So that was a wrap.
So that was it.
Uh-huh.
And then from then, all right, so, like, since I wasn't working, my mother said that the money I was making, I need to give her. So, since I don't have the money to give her, she got real angry at me and she's like, listen, well, you need to come and you need to pay me for staying here. Mind you, this is my grandmother's house. She's like, you need to pay me for to stay here because you're not living here for free.
But what about your sisters and them?
My sister? What, my sister? She has her life together. Yeah. She's working in a good job and stuff. But she still has that financial issue trying to support my mother, even.
So your sister still lives home?
Yeah, she still lives there. Right. Mm. But yeah, so I was sick, you know. And then after, I didn't have a permanent job. So my mother was like, since I couldn't support my mother financially, although she was working at that time, and I believe she's still working, but since I couldn't give her no money, she said that I need to leave the house. And I was in and out the house, but the problem was I was actually in and out the hospital. So that's why I couldn't really come home. And even when I came home, she saw that I had injections because she literally made, she saw my injections.
So when you was in the hospital?
Yeah.
Your mom did not know?
She knew I was in the hospital. My brother, he told her I was in the hospital. And when I came home, she saw I had the injections.
The drips and... So listen, yeah. How long... So when you disappeared that day, how long you stayed at the hospital? You came back the same day?
Same day, yeah.
All right.
And then we had to go back again.
Mm-hmm.
And again and again. So yeah, so that was it. And then she's like, well, she don't like how I always in and out the house, coming in late and stuff like that. But every single time I would leave the house, I would always message my brother or my grandmother and tell them, listen, well, you know, I might come back home late, or I have my grandmother living in Maryville. So since there's transport issues, I would stay in Maryville, because after a certain time in Paramount, you don't get much transport.
Mm-hmm.
So I said, listen, I would always give them an update.
A heads up as to where you are and what's happening.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. So my mother, she said, well, I don't like how you're in and out the house, but I know it was the money. I know it's because I couldn't support her financially. And she said that. She said, since I don't have any money to give her, I need to find somewhere to go. And I need to pick one side of the family, which was my father's side of the family. So I was like, okay, cool. Then I would go and live by my father, because around that time, Christmas time, me and my father, he met my boyfriend. And we talk or whatever, you know, trying to go in the New Year's with a good vibe. Mm. And then after, I said, all right, cool. So I went and lived by my father.
Pack up all your Georgie bundle, teddy bear,
pack
everything.
Pack up my things, go and live by him. And
so he had room for you? He make room for you?
Yes, I had my whole room, flat screen TV, everything.
What kind of abuse you really went through, girl?
No, but listen. No, but listen, right? So I went to the room and stuff, right? So he had this rules from, mind you, I'm 20, right?
Mm-hmm.
Monday to Friday, I do maths. Because I have all my passes except maths. I have CAPE, I have CSEC, everything except maths.
Mm-hmm.
And I was doing the maths virtually every Monday. So she was like...
Who is she?
No, when my father, he was like, all right, so listen, right? We'll pay for the maths. Don't work no way. You need to do maths on a Tuesday. On a Thursday, we'll give you $100, $50 on Tuesday, $50 on Thursday. And do not work anywhere. You can't go anywhere if you're focusing on maths. So I was to stay in my room that whole week. And he would pick me and drop me up to class.
The classes.
Yeah. So from that now, I would probably go down in Maryville with my grandma to help her clean out and stuff. And probably get like allowance of like $200 for a week.
Mm-hmm.
So from that, it's like the rules they made, it's always turned into something different. And eventually, it turned into... I couldn't even go to see my grandmother every weekend. And I really like going to check my grandmother because I'm very close with her.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, okay, well, now you're trying to control this. But I'm 20 years old.
Mm-hmm.
My father, he wasn't really in my life as a teenager.
I remember because he separated from you guys.
He separated. So I'm thinking, okay, well, the type of things you're doing right now when I'm 20, you should have... When I was of age, when I was under age, you should have been present in my life at
right,
then.
Right.
So it's like, why are you trying to do that now? And then trying to tell me to break up with my boyfriend, not to be with him, not to work. And I also want to go to the performing arts school. So he was trying to tell me, don't go performing at school. Don't study me.
A job like your sister.
A job like my sister. Because
and work for somebody.
Yeah. Because everybody, they always compare the both of us. Always. Mm-hmm. Always. So that's why me and my sister are not really close, because of the constant comparison. So it was like, okay, well, don't do music, don't work. But I came to them, I told them my plan. Listen, I'm going to get a job and I want to invest the money into my music. They was against that. So just a lot of things.
Negativity.
Even my boyfriend telling him, well, you know, well, this is the plan. Because he's a producer as well and I'm a singer. So, okay, so we working head to head. This is our plan. My father would literally be on calls with my boyfriend telling him, well, you know, you weren't reaching away with that. So just try to do something else. It was every time gradually, it was always something negative. Until one day, so I stayed with him for like 2 months this year.
So like January, February, January, before Carnival.
February, yeah. That was after Carnival.
All right.
So. That was after Carnival, right? Mm-hmm. So
you didn't go no fete and thing?
Yeah, we didn't go any fete, but we went to a little, you know, juvie and stuff.
In this strict household, take a call here. He was able to go juvie. Hello, good afternoon.
Hi, is it Sherelle?
Yes, Sherelle is.
I called a little while ago. I didn't know you were that young, miss.
Yeah, she is.
I also had to leave home because I couldn't give her enough money and I left home when I was 20, right?
Wow.
But what I would like to ask you to do, at least if it's one speaker psychologist.
Yeah, it was recommended earlier.
Because I did that. And once I tried the suicidal thing when I was 8.
Okay. 8? What are you thinking about suicide at that age, boy?
Well, I went and tell the neighbor what I was going through. My name was W-H-O-R-E, you know. And I was always told, get a man and leave the house. I had to pay for, when I was working, I had to pay for toothpaste, toiletries, everything. And I work shift from 1 to 8 in the pharmacy. And if I reach home late, I always... My father was waiting for me and my mother beat me with an axe handle or a broom. Right?
Oh, you? What kind of...
Yes.
Wow.
No food. No food. It's a current roll I buy on the road and I cook and coming home. Right?
Yeah.
So I was always ill too. And I had a bleeding disorder through all of that, right? So what I want to tell Miss Lady, try to talk to psychologists, right?
Please. All right. All right. Thank
and
you so much.
And turn to the law. Don't take on that ma.
Yeah. Okay? Thank you.
I helped my mother financially afterwards.
Well, yeah, you can't hear them, you know. Yeah.
You see, choosing a gift and going and hug you up. And
yeah. It's strange.
And I feel like I committed a crime. I'm guilty. I feel very bad about it because when my children was of age and why we not visiting grandma and this and that and the next, and I put them eventually and tell them what went on and they're for me. Plus, I had a big brother who is a helper, beat me, eh?
Lord.
Yes. He's 75 now in foreign and calling me, hello, my dear loving sister.
No.
And want to know why my children are corresponding with him. So one day I said, what you did to me? You know, he denied everything. He said, well, I have a wife and 2 girls, and I never laid a hand on him. I said, well, you laid foot, kick,
everything on me.
And don't mind that. Right?
Yeah.
So, ma'am, just turn to the Lord
and
go to a psychologist and throw everything behind your back.
Yes. I definitely agree with that.
I want you to have a bright future, and I will be praying for you. And you see that Davy Marie? He's my son. And I always pray for him and bless him.
Amen.
And wonderful child. Bye-bye.
All right. Thank you very much, Paula. I appreciate that, man. So, I mean, thinking about your story here, you know, you mentioned something, and I want to say this to you. I will say it after this call. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Not too long ago, I heard the young lady telling me that mommy wants her to go to work and become an economic contributor towards the house. How old are you, ma'am?
I'm 20. Yeah.
Mommy ain't thinking about sending her back to school, finish university, get a master's or a doctorate in something. Yeah. Instead of getting your $5, that could be your $500.
Mommy is studying now. Mommy looking for her to hustle and bring her dust home.
Yeah.
But then if that is the case, then mommy is looking to create a lady of the night.
That
could be in the day.
You understand?
So, young lady, you keep a positive head.
Mm.
Set yourself up on your goals. what you would like to be you. Aim for it, darling. Aim for the
stars.
You miss your fall amongst.
No, no, no. You're saying that wrong, partner. You all want to thief my thing, eh, boy? When you shoot, shoot for the moon. And if you miss, you'll fall among the stars. That is the shot, man. That is the shot.
Right? So, baby, we have your back. Don't fight. Any problem, you call Davy and Davy go tell me if you had to raise something to get you something good. All right?
Well said. That's facts. That is facts. Thank you very much. Yeah, brethren. That is facts. Anybody that call me and we throw that information out there, we raise that funds. That is goes without saying. You know, you mentioned something in wrapping up now about the 20 years and a set of rules. Here is something that my father said to me many years ago. My father said, I was one of them fellas, when I leave the house, I was grown, working and stuff, right? And I would say to myself, he said to me, I don't want your money, you know, but your mother just wash your clothes, she thing in, you contribute something here. Now, he didn't physically hand me a bill and say, I pay not. So I would go out sometime in my teenage years. I go on to throw away garbage, to take out the garbage. We didn't have rubbish truck passing and picking up. So I had to walk down the street and have a big bin and you throw it away. And whatever. I go on. When I throw the garbage, I throw myself away too. I go on. I lime with birds and I go on my friend. I hang it out and come home to get a licking later on, boy. But that's my small thing. And as I grew older, he said, listen, this house has rules. And if you don't want to live by the rules in this house, and you're a man, then find your own place. Now, he didn't put me out. He did not put me out. But he let me know that I'm to be home by a certain time. If I am coming in late, I am to inform them where I am, what I'm doing. And I'm talking about, after I finished school, about 17, 18, all 18, 19. You know, I was working on things in between, off and on. But those were the things you were saying to me. And I'm saying this to you, Sherelle. Dad might have some rules that we may find unfair. But if you're in the man's house and the man give you rules, you have to look at it like if you're by a landlord, you know. Mm-hmm. Imagine you paying a rent in my place. I rent in your apartment downstairs. But I tell you, they have rules. I want nobody visiting my property unless you let me know. So you're paying your rent. But you're not living at you. You're living in a yard. The yard have other tenants. And I want the tenants to be comfortable. These are quiet community. So you can't bring in, they're asking you, do you have children? Do you have pets? We don't want no pets here. You are allowed to paint the inside of the apartment whatever colors you like, but you can't touch outside. And you paint to live there. You cannot break that wall. You cannot change nothing, no windows. You are just paying for residency. And that's basically what parents do on a different scale when it comes to their children. And I say that to tell you this because I want persons listening to and children that are traveling now to understand. It's not that mommy put you out or daddy tell you to get out of your house. You had an option. You have a choice. And when you get employment, it's the same thing. I working here at Guardian Media when we launched Freedom Radio. I've been a radio presenter since 2006, among other things that I do. But when I come to work, I was given a binary with rules and regulations, even how I conduct myself outside of the company on my own time. Because at any point in time, that is Davy Murray. He work in Guardian Media. That the fella from Freedom, lucky behavior. Who's getting the bad name along with my attitude? The same company that I'm working for, because people know me for here. They know me for television, for my shows, they would see it. And that is what happens. So I want you to understand, don't view daddy as being draconian or he should have done this before. The thing about it is, once you occupy in residency in the man's space, he could tell you. Whether it's oppressive or harsh, a choice is yours. If I want to live here and enjoy the comforts of not paying a rent, or whatever it is, and eating, getting my clothes washed, enjoying the electricity bill and the internet service. You get what I'm coming with this? So we have to be cognizant and understand what we existing in and how we existing in it. Now, there's no reason for parents to be abusive to children. by no stretch of the imagination should parents at any point in time speak to their children in that manner. The thing about it is, your sister was able to deal with it differently and she thrived. But look what it did to you. It put you on a suicidal road. I am only thankful that sexual abuse didn't step in there. You didn't seek the comfort of men at an earlier age and get into that lifestyle. But you poured it into the spoken word, which is good, mm-hmm. and music. And I will say this to you. Do not let your father, me, or nobody out there tell you you can't do it. You and your boyfriend. Nobody. Tell all your can't do it. My father, and I know he meant well, said to me when I told him as a child that I wanted to be a fireman and I wanted to be a pilot. My dad used to work at the airport and I used to go and I would see the planes and I wanted to be a pilot. My father said, you ain't studying your work in school. You too don't to be a pilot. Well, I showed he. I did. I literally showed him. Oh, I could. Well, look at this now. Tell he was very proud at that point in time. You understand? Mm-hmm. I literally conquered and went through it and showed him, hey, you said I couldn't. Well, look what happened here. And I was getting bad grades in school. I wasn't the brightest child in the class. Real talk. I didn't even think I would have been on radio today. I'd be honest with you. If I had followed my career path in school, I would have never been here. Hey, look at that. All right, call me back. But the thing about it is I'm taking a minute to tell you this because people have a tendency to want to ill speak you and hold you back. Use that as fuel to show them what you could do. Colonel Sanders didn't get his restaurant's KFC big until when he was 70-something years of age. We have people start off singing in churches, and today they are great soca artists in this country. We have persons, when they went to Synergy Soca Star back then, didn't make the cut. If you listen to Denzel Washington's story, if you listen, I have at least 4 television series I created in Trinidad. And I remember when I was coming up with the first idea and I was talking to persons, they tell me it wouldn't work here because I was paralleling an idea from the US television market and they say it wouldn't work and all that I get. But I never give up. I persevered. I remember my first interview to becoming a radio presenter. I didn't get the job. The man watched me like, who is you, boy? But it will continue to put your music out there. It will take one person to hear your song, one person to recognize your talents as a producer, one person. And they will give you that golden ticket to help you to become somebody. So don't let your father, don't give up on it. Whether it's gospel, R&B, soca, whatever genre of music you choose to sing, embrace all aspects of the musical world and put your music out there. Sing your song. YouTube is a free channel, a free platform. Drop your videos, drop your lyrical content. Go up on the TikTok, use the Instagram. You push your music, invest in you. You can't want me to believe in you if you're not investing in yourself. And you don't know. Somebody tell you to find God? He works in mysterious ways. So with that being said, I wanna honestly thank you so much for coming and sharing your story this afternoon. I'm very proud of you that you did not get yourselves in any sort of problems with the law. I ain't hear police hold you yet. I ain't hear the security. I ain't hear you telling me, well, I went down a road, I used to shoplift. I used to this. I hear you talking about one boyfriend. I ain't hear, well, I had a man before, and then me and he did break up. I hear you talking about one boyfriend at the age of 20. That is goal. I want to see you guys go all the way to marriage. Not because that's why this do it, but I would love to see you all go all the way. I would love for you to come back 4 or 5 years from now, if I'm still at this frequency, and tell me your story. I'd like to be hosting auditions for Bling My Wedding and see you coming in with him to audition to get married on the show. Because all you want to get married, I want to see those auditions. I want to see you show up. You understand? Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Davey. Mm-hmm. And my host there. Listen, I just want to congratulate this young lady and encourage her. And to all the people who said that she should visit a psychologist, when I think it's a good idea, I think a job as a psychologist.
I think she has a story to tell.
She have is only when the backpack on your back, then it's not the weight.
Yeah, yeah, she has a story. So
she could help people.
She could.
Even though she's young, there is nothing not with age bracket.
No.
And ma'am, I want you to go forward, learn from my experience, and move forward in life.
Yeah.
Congratulations. Thanks.
See? Thank you. You see what I tell you? I don't want to hear about more. You had bad grades. You're going back and you're doing your maths. So as much as you would have been abused as a child growing up, living in an environment that was toxic with cursing, obscene language, you're seeing all kind of things, it didn't put you on a negative path per se, you know. You know Job in the Bible had wanted to die? He reached a stage where he wanted to commit suicide. You're not the first. There are a lot of persons went through those time of traumatic things in their lives and they pulled through. Hello, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Mr. Davy.
Good afternoon.
And good afternoon to your special guest, Princess Tong here.
Yeah, Princess Tong, what's up?
I tune in later a little bit today, Davy, so I didn't really catch the full gist of the story. But what I am gleaning so far is that you have a guest there who have experienced or had some very challenging times and thoughts. And I just wanted to join with the other callers to tell her that she's not alone in whatever challenges she may be facing. You know, we are all part of a global community. We are all interrelated and interconnected. And to keep faith, to be strong, and do not be afraid to talk. And when she needs assistance, as you say, you can call Mr. Davy and other places or whatever and so on. But be strong in your conviction and pursue. Don't ever give up on your dreams, whatever it may be, notwithstanding the problems we have in this country and so on. There are still opportunities and possibilities for those who really stick to it and really, you know, work hard at it. You can be almost anything you want to be. That is still very, very possible. Okay, so be strong and don't be afraid or shy to engage people, I mean positive people, you know, with to friends and so on.
All right.
And be strong and continue on your path, notwithstanding the challenges you might have faced. This is all part of life. Everybody have their story. Everybody have a story.
True.
And that is what makes us strong, and that is what makes us successful.
Thank you.
You go forward brave and bold into the future.
Thank you very much, man. I appreciate that. You see, words of wisdom. So now you have a final chance to give me a spoken word. It's my time now. And then I go drop mine for you, what I did in a way. And of course, it could be a reflection to all the people listening. You know, we ain't bashing the police, eh? But, you know, we just had to say something about them now. But anyway, Sherelle, it's yours. Let's hear it.
Okay. This is my time now. This is my time now. When you see me on your TV screen, this is my time now. How I tailor these words to form a line. How I tailor these words to form a rhyme. This is my time now. This is my time now. Here to make a difference in today's youth. To share knowledge and positivity to others in bearing fruit. This is my time now. This is my time now. Like smoke I rise from all the pain and deceit others crumbled and left at my table like a receipt. So when you see me gaining the will and the goal I deserve, know that this is my time now. This is my time now. This is Sherelle's time now.
Well, here's what, girl. I want to partner with you and we go do a piece together. You write your piece, I go write something, and let's come together and let's create a dynamic piece here and put it out on radio. Let me talk about the domestic abuse people let's go through and let me rest one on them for them. Yeah. I like that piece. It's my time now. Let me tell you what I did right for the police back then. Take a listen to this. We the police have our jobs to do. To issue traffic tickets to you and you and even you. We the police don't make these laws brave and bold. We are only charged with the responsibility to make sure the law you uphold. We in authority don't see rape and murder of our people as important. But you, the traffic reoffender, you're overdoing it. It's too rampant. We the authorities must make our roads safer.
but we won't go to court to put away a known criminal reoffender. A person who has made a career of breaking and enter, from being an intruder to rape and murder. Such a person isn't important because they are not a traffic violator. For our focus is to ensure that you don't drive on the shoulder, but to give evidence and go to court and put away a known murderer? Please, why bother? So these criminal reoffenders continue to loot, rape and plunder, killing young girls, aunties, and even someone's mother. Andrea, Ashanti, like others, were all victims of a heinous crime. But we, the police, can't see it because no one broke a traffic sign. So as the families of these young girls cry out in pain, the authorities can't hear. This is not a traffic offense, so there's nothing to gain. And as for our judicial system, oh boy, what a mess. We can't seem to put away a known criminal unless he confess. So when the case comes up in court, the magistrate can't wait. Or the police absent again, bam, slams the gavel, and a next court date. The system is so archaic and flawed to the core. It's as though they can't make a police appear at the court's front door. It makes me wonder if in the eyes of these courts, people's lives is just a game. But the more I think about the judiciary, they too are to blame. The way they drag their feet on cases that take year after year, granting hardened criminals bails as the country lives in fear. So unless we address all these issues at hand, criminal reoffenders will continue to plague our land. So while you busy on the highway looking for the next traffic reoffender, I hope these criminals never find your aunt, mother, or even worse, your little daughter.
The best insight, instant feedback, accountability. The all-new Talk Radio Freedom 106.5.